You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, powered by Diaga.ie and proudly sponsored by Flomax. Be sure to check out our brand new website, BetweenTheStripes.ie, while you can find us on Twitter at Between Stripes or on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Now, here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Jonathan Breyer.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, series 3, episode 4 tonight. Kieran Burke and John Breyer in studio. Not a lot of goals to report in the Premier Division this week, but plenty of shocks, goals and action to report from the First Division. John, you're welcome again.
Thanks very much, Kieran. And you were out at City Colin Stadium last night.
Yeah, so another big week for Between the Stripes. As everyone knows, we've launched our TV channel on YouTube this season, Between the Stripes TV. But last night was the launch of Between the Stripes Matchday Live, our new online commentary service on Mixlr. So if you go to mixlr.com/between the stripes, you'll find us. And we will have live commentary. We're aiming for a game a week. It will be different clubs from around the country. I know a lot of people are asking, are we only going to cover Longford? Longford will probably be one of the clubs that we will cover the least, because myself and John both have commitments on Longford Town match days. So, but this Friday night we are covering the Longford game. I'll be in Stradbroke to bring live commentary, and hopefully I can get myself a co-commentator. A bit of a tough slug on my own last night, as Longford beat Cockhill Celtic in the EA Sports Cup. But over 300 listeners to that game last night, so a very encouraging start. Shows there is an interest in this type of thing.
Brilliant, Kieran, to say it was an EA Sports Cup match against non-league opposition. I thought 300 was very respectable to kick off.
Considering there was only 205 at the game, to get 300 listeners online is quite good. So thanks to everyone who tuned in. As I said, Cabinteely against Longford Town coming to you live on Between the Stripes on Mixlr this Friday night. But John, do you want to tell the folks at home what we have on the show tonight?
Yeah, well, we've two great guests tonight. So we're going to resurgent Athlone Town, and we're going to be speaking to Darren Meenan and finding out what on earth has put Athlone to the top of the league at this early stage of the season.
Yeah, I don't think too many would have seen this coming. Obviously, you said it on our Between the Stripes TV League of Ireland review show at the weekend that they probably had the perfect start in terms of their fixtures. Wexford, the side everyone's expecting to be bottom, and Cove, who people were looking at to kick on this season, but after that opening day disaster against Drogheda, they haven't kicked on now, a defeat to Athlone. And last night, their game against Limerick in the EA Sports Cup game, or cup was tight, it was called off. So it's been a disastrous start to the season for Stephen Henderson's men.
Yep, we'll also be speaking to Nigel Hegarty, Finn Harps, struggling at the bottom of the table of the top division, and we sort of expected that a little bit, but I think he'll have been disappointed in the performance against Rovers there Monday night.
Yeah, well, we'll have a lot to talk about with Nigel. Of course, everyone knows Nigel, a massive Finn Harps fan and a regular here on the podcast, but there'll be a lot of talking points to go over in regards to Finn Harps. As you mentioned, they had quite a decent start of the season. Defensively, John, they look quite solid.
They did.
But apart from Boyle up front, it's hard to see where the goals are going to come from Finn Harps. So we'll have to speak to Nigel about that.
And I think they'll be worried about the goals they conceded against Rovers. There are a couple of defense...
I'd brush off that Rovers game completely. Right. I know Ollie Horgan in particular and everyone at Finn Harps, very, very angry, outraged with the scheduling of that game. That game was brought forward to this Monday night due to the under-17 European Championships. That's going to take place in Tala in a couple of weeks' time. So that game was brought forward. But we have to remember, Finn Harps are a part-time club. Yeah. They played Friday night. They have to go up to Tala then on a Monday. Players have to get time off work, travel expenses, everything. So it's a big ask for a club like Harps. You can see from their performance, it was a very leggy performance the other night against Shamrock Rovers, and it was no surprise to see the Hoops running out 3-0 winners.
And I think this could be, we talked about last time Harps were in the top division and how they ran out of steam. Ollie said he's on a, you know, he's not got the budget to have a big squad, so I'd be concerned if something similar happened again this season.
Yeah, and I know you want to raise the point with Nigel about Ollie Horgan's behaviour on the sideline again.
No, it's outrageous. He just needs to grow up at this stage, Kieran. It's not befitting of a football manager.
Yeah, he's probably in line for a ban now after being sent off in Tala the other night. His assistant, Paul Hegarty, has received a 2-game ban. So
we mentioned it in the preview shows, didn't I? I think my comment was, how long is Ollie Horgan going to see on the sidelines this season? Because if he carries on with his behaviour as it is, you know, I think he'll find most of the season he'll be suspended.
Yeah, certainly not doing Finn Harps any favours. But look, we'll start the show by looking back. We'll start with the First Division this week, John, because that's where the goals were. And what a shock at Tolka Park. Shelburne defeated by Cabinteely in a 5-goal thriller, 3-2.
Yeah, who saw this coming? I certainly didn't. And I don't think anybody predicted this one. But people who were at the game said that Cabo are actually a decent team, and they could pull a few surprises this season. And I know when we've looked at them pre-season, we didn't think they'd do too much. But obviously they have a bit of talent up there. And the evergreen Marty Waters, who got the winner on this one, they've a perfect foil up front.
Yeah, Marty Waters obviously is the man we're all pinning our hopes on in terms of Cabinteely, but there seems to be a lot of talk about Rob Manley at the moment. His brother Joe Manley playing for Longford Town, they're going to be facing off against each other on Friday night, but a lot of positive reports about young Rob Manley, and perhaps he can take some of the pressure off Marty Waters this season.
Yeah, well, he scored the second goal for Cabo. You look at the names that scored for Shells, Oscar Brennan and Kieran Kilduff, you know, and you just wonder how a team with the names that they've got in that team, and indeed in the squad, are struggling against the likes of Cabo.
Well, look, I didn't call this result, certainly. I think I said a 3 or 4-0 win for Shelburne on the show last week. But yep. What I did say to you, John, is this Shelburne team, the way it's been set up, reminds me a lot of Longford Town back in 2014, when the town spent big and brought in the names of Rice, Pat Flynn, Pat Sullivan. Already had the likes of David O'Sullivan there. But Longford had a very slow start to that season. I can remember there was calls for Tony Cousins' head at the start of that season. Longford obviously went on to win the league by 8 points with a game to spare. But Shelburne, again, it's a new squad, a lot of new players. It's going to take them time to gel. So I expected a slow start for Shelburne, but certainly didn't see this result coming.
No, I don't think anybody did, Kieran. Okay, we'll move on to Bray 2, Limerick 0, and one of their star signs, Paul Keegan, got this second for Bray. First one from Joe Doyle. Not too big a surprise, that one, because you weren't particularly inspired by Limerick first match of the season, were you?
No, not surprised by this result at all. All the talk has been about Paul Keegan signing for Bray, because that's a huge sign that he should be playing in the Premier. But yep. Joe Doyle is a name that's gone under the radar. Good goal scorer. I think he could get quite a few for Bray up front this season.
No surprises at Wexford, as they went down 4-0 at home to Galway, and another red card, I'm afraid.
Yeah, so that's something Wexford need to look at. Two red cards in two games. So obviously a young team, but it's their more experienced players, obviously, with Danny Furlong in the first game that was sent off, and Doyle was there last season, so a couple of games under his belt should have showed a bit of discipline, really. Got for Wexford, excuse me, 8 goals now conceded in 2 games. It's very, very worrying to start the season. But for Galway, again, really positive signs after that opening performance, going down 3-2 to Shelburne, but a very good performance. And they won in the League Cup on Monday night against Athlone in extra time, and Vinnie Fatherty was on the goal sheet in that game again. So really positive signs from Galway early on here.
Yeah, and you'll hope they keep the attendances going, because that kind of result at Wexford is great for them, and we wouldn't want to see attendance drip away as a potential when you have such a great first match. You know, they had the march and everything, so yeah. You just hope it wouldn't fall away after that. But promising signs there for Galway, and a good win on the night. The match we were at, Kieran, Longford Town came out 3-0 winners over Drogheda. Didn't tell the full story because it was a pretty equal first half, but it was a fantastic save in there from Longford Town keeper.
Yeah, I was chatting to Lee Stacey last night after the game against Cockhill Celtic, and I just said to him, "You've gone viral this week," and he was delighted with it. But yeah, that was an absolute... It's the best save I've ever seen live, John. The ball, it's a headed effort. It's going into the top corner. It's almost gone by Stacey. We all said, "Oh, it's a goal." And out of nowhere, he's got up on springs and he's clawed it out of the top corner while the ball was just behind him.
Yeah.
Inches from going over the line. Absolutely incredible. But the big talking point after that, when everyone got home and reviewed the footage of this game, you'll remember when, despite that great save from Stacey, there was a rebounded shot that went in.
Yep.
Linesman flagged it for offside. At the time, nobody paid any heed to it, but looking at the replay, there's a Longford Town defender on the line.
It's just ridiculous, Kieran, because yeah, exactly, it was given offside. Sure, we can't see from section O, but having looked, you just look at the video of the goal, and it is preposterous. There is a Longford Town defender stood on the line.
I think even if you take that defender away, I think he was still onside.
He wasn't behind the line. He was on the line. Mm. It's just absolutely
But look, are you surprised,
ridiculous.
John? You were at the game. You've seen the performance of that linesman. He could not... That was the only decision he made by himself all night.
Yeah.
And he got it wrong. He couldn't make the most basic of decisions. I remember there was one where a Longford player kicked it out for... He misplaced his pass and kicked it straight out for a throw. And I looked over at the linesman, and I'm like, why isn't he flagging? He had to look over at the referee, and the referee had to nod his head to tell him which direction to go. Now, was he taking a nap at the time or something? The officiating again the other night was appalling. That's something that I know a lot of the managers, they're afraid to speak about because of the new directive in place, but it's something that seriously needs to be looked at, because decisions like that turn games. Longford went on to win this game comfortably 3-0, but had Drogheda gone 1-0 up early on, they played quite well in the opening 20-25 minutes. They did a different game.
It could well have, and but the second half, we'll move on from your weekly rant at the officials. But second half, it was like two different teams came out, because Longford completely dominated from start to finish. Dean Byrne, the relief on his face when he scored, because he'd been out a long time injured.
Yeah, showed a lot of emotion in celebration, was out injured for a long time last season, had to wait to get his chance to get back in the starting 11. He didn't start last week in Limerick, but as I said to you on the show last week, when he came on in Limerick, that's when the creative spark in the team appeared. He started this game, he was absolutely magnificent on the night, ran himself into the ground, took his goal really, really well. But what happened to Drogheda in that second half, John? Because they did not appear out of the dressing room. Were Longford that good in the second half, or was it just a very poor performance from Drogheda?
I think it was a combination of the both, but I don't think Longford allowed them to play. I think Neil made some very good tactical decisions and changes, and his subs were right. And they were just completely outclassed with Drogheda.
I'm not saying it wasn't a good performance from Longford. The second half certainly was, but their first half performance left a lot to be desired. Obviously, Neil's made a couple of changes, little tweaks in the system. He was playing with a midfield diamond in the first half. There seemed to be a lot more width in the second half, especially after Shane Elworthy came on and got the assist for the second. But I'm not sure. Drogheda were very, very poor in that second half. They had no focal point whatsoever. Every ball they played forward was an aimless long ball. They had no rhythm to their play. They couldn't keep the ball. And Longford punished them, but I think Longford will have to up their game again if they're going to get a result this Friday against Cabinteely.
Just to comment on the other two goals, diving header from Dobbs, which was a really good header, to see that. Now, get off the mark. And the winger on as a substitute, Peter Hopkins, he got the third, rounded Skinner and slotted it in. So 3-0 for Longford, a pretty straightforward victory there. Finally, we go to Cove, where Cove were beaten 1-0 on the night by Athlone. Goal from Dean Williams on loan from Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah, he's had a very impressive start. He got two goals in the opening game against Wexford. He's got another one here, so that's three goals in two games. He's on top of the goal scoring charts alongside Kieran Kilduff. And he got a couple of goals in pre-season as well. Very highly rated by Shamrock Rovers fans, this young man. So one to watch certainly for the rest of the season.
And this is win-win for Rovers. You know, they get to, rather than him, not playing underage and not playing at all, he's out on loan with Athlone. He's playing a bit of League of Ireland and he's scoring goals. So if he can bag himself a few goals this season, he could be exactly what Rovers are looking for in the next couple of seasons.
Was this a surprising result, or should it be expected?
I wasn't that surprised. I think Cove, they've had a disastrous start to the season. Make no bones about it. Mm. And that it just doesn't feel right down there at the moment. But, Athlone...
Stephen Henderson seemed to think his team played quite well in this game.
Yeah, well, I think they were lucky not to get a point, to be honest, from what I heard, Kieran. They're going to have to get some points on the board soon.
They need a starting point somewhere.
Hendo will have been gutted that match was rained off the other night.
Yeah.
Because they need something, and quick.
Yeah, a cup win could have been that spark to get them going, but look, they'll go again at the weekend when they host Wexford, and that's certainly a game you'd fancy their chances in. If they don't get a result in that one, John, though, you would be worried for them.
You certainly would.
Look, let's go to our first interview of the night, folks. We're going to get the First Division perspective now from the team that is joint top of the First Division at the moment, and it's Athlone Town's big signing of the off-season. It's Darren Meenan. So I'm delighted to say we're joined on the line for the first time this season by a player from Athlone Town. They're top of the table after two games in the First Division. And their star signing of the off-season, Darren Meenan, joins us now on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Darren, you're welcome to the show.
Cheers, thanks very much, lads.
So Darren, before we speak about your new club, Athlone, a great start to the season, we'll just talk about your own personal situation. I think it's fair to say your move to Athlone surprised many. What was the main factor in the move?
To be honest with you, I was going to sign up north. I was going to pack it in altogether and just get my tax back. But obviously, I had a chat with Terry. I met one or two teams at the end of the year. I met Neil, and it just didn't happen. And that was it, really. I had a chat with Terry. I sat down with Terry, and he says, "Listen, the last few years hasn't been great for them, obviously, but this year he's looking to change his ideas, play good football, and obviously with the new pitch down there, I think it just shows the last two games the way we've been playing.
Yeah, and you're on course for four wins from four to start the season until that extra time defeat against Galway, but still a very positive performance in the League Cup the other night. Has the group surpassed its own expectations at this stage of the season?
Listen, Kieran, we're just taking it game by game. You know, you can't look beyond Shelbourne on Friday night. Obviously, it's going to be a difficult game, but, you know, we're high on confidence. You know, a few lads that haven't been playing have got a bit of game time, and we're going to need every single one of them over the due course of the season.
You mentioned about the 4G pitch earlier there, Darren. How are you finding playing on that? And do you think it gives you a bit of an advantage against opposition that might not be used to that type of pitch?
Listen, it's the same as Ayton, really. Listen to me, there's two goals and it's two teams going at it. You know, I don't think it's much of a difference. I think most teams train on Astro and Anews.
Yeah, that's what I was just saying to you off air, John. I think most teams in this league do train on Astro now, so I can't see there being much of it.
Sort of this time of year now, you wouldn't get the quality service where you might get it in the summer, maybe.
Yeah. Have you found the new 4G at Athlone any different to the one you would have played on in Oriel in the past?
I think it's a lot quicker. But obviously with a few games on it now, you know, it's getting a lot better. It's getting very good. I think we played Sligo and it was zipping off. It was too quick. But starting to settle down now. It's got a few brushes and, you know, it's looking nice now.
What about the support at Athlone? I mean, it struggled a bit last couple of seasons. You know, it was probably all amateur setup then. But they seem to have, you know, pushed the boat out a little bit this season. A few marquee signings, and is it bringing back the crowds to Athlone?
Yeah, listen. I think as we get the results, the crowds will come out and they'll see what kind of brand of football we're playing. Listen, at the minute we want to get the ball on the deck and play out from the back. That's the way Terry has us playing, and. You know, it's looking promising at the minute.
And there's always one fixture we look forward to as Longford Town fans, and it's the Midlands El Clasico. Yeah. So you're hoping for a good reception when you come back up here.
Listen, it's just another game to me personally. Just go out and play. You know, it's like any other game on a Friday or a Saturday night. You want to win.
We were saying, though, it should be a lot better than previous seasons in with Athlone's start, and, you know, hopeful Athlone will bring a few fans up and make a good atmosphere of it.
Hopefully. Listen, you know, the pitch will be lovely down in Longford. I know that myself, and, you know, it should be a good game. Listen, they're flying as well, and, you know, I think they probably drilled their force and won their second one, a good result against Drogheda, but... You know, as I said, we won't look beyond Shelbourne on Friday night.
We won't keep you too much longer, Darren, because we know you're heading off the training tonight. And as always, we appreciate you joining us on the show. But let's speak about this big game at the weekend. Shelbourne, they've had probably a slower start than many people would expect with all the marquee signings coming in. Do you think you can turn them over?
Listen, we'll be going out to win the game. We won't be sitting back. You know, I think you need to have that mindset in every game to go out and get 3 points. Because if you're sitting back for a draw, it could be anything, like, you know, that kind of way. We'll be going out and we'll be going at them. We know they've leaked a few goals, and you know, we've good attacking players, and you know, we'll be going out to win the game on Friday.
And from your own personal point of view, you've done it pretty much all of it in League of Ireland, 3 league titles at Dundalk, cup successes as well, played at some of the biggest clubs and played in Europe. But if somehow Athlone could get out of the first division this season, would that be the icing on the cake for yourself?
Oh, I think I would. Listen, I think either way now, this is me last year. I said I'd give it one more go. Obviously, I had a tough over the Christmas, you know, family bereavements, and, you know, I was just kind of packing in all together, but, you know, I'm going into training with a smile on my face. I'm enjoying my football, and you know, I'll just kick on now for Shelbourne on Friday night.
And any thoughts on post retirement? Would you look to go into coaching, perhaps?
No, it's not something I've been looking at. I have a few other ideas now at the minute. I don't think it's me going into coaching, like. Obviously, family reasons, and, you know, obviously, bills have to be paid.
Well, Darren, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. Congrats on the great start to the season with Athlone, and as myself and John said, we're really looking forward to seeing you back in Longford for the derby.
Cheers. Thanks very much, lads. Best of luck.
Thanks, Darren.
Thanks.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
So great to hear from Darren Meenan on the show. Let's go to the Premier Division review, John, and we'll start with what was the big game, but unfortunately I was at this one and it was a big letdown, I have to say. Shamrock Rovers 0, Dundalk 0.
Yeah, we had a few big letdowns this weekend, I'm afraid.
Especially in the top flight, yeah.
Exactly. 0-0, Duffy was hauled down early enough on from free kick. Sean Hoare, probably with the best chance of the game, but he headed onto the crossbar. And if that had gone in, it would probably been a very different match. And similar, Murray, he was hauled down in a similar spot, not from free kick, Kelly shot wide. So a couple of chances there early on.
You failed to mention that the very first chance of the game actually came for the whole Shamrock Rovers, and it was the big man Vojic up front, had a great opportunity, got a shot away, but it looks a good save on Soccer Republic, but I was right behind it at the time, and he's hit it just straight down the middle of the goal, and Rodgers has tipped it over. It was a very poor effort, and his performance to follow was quite poor as well. He was eventually hauled off after about an hour, I think, and he didn't impress at all on the night.
Yeah, but we're a little bit worried about that, because he was sort of a hopeful goal scorer for Rovers, but... you know, it's going to be back to Aaron Green, isn't it, I think?
Yeah, look, make no bones about it. This was a very poor performance from Shamrock Rovers, whatever about Dundalk. I thought they tried to play on the night. They were definitely miles off their usual high standards. And Patrick Hooban in particular, I'm not sure, John, maybe he's carrying a knock or something. He just looked a mile off the pace the other night. Mm. But from a Rovers point of view, speaking to fans around me that were at the game, there was no pattern to Rovers' play at all. A lot of the passing was backwards, it was sidewards, and they had no focal point up front. They had so many attacking midfielders on the pitch that you were thinking they were going to create chances for fun. They had Finn, they had Coulstrain out on the wing, but he was playing very narrow. Their best midfielder on the night was actually Greg Bulger, the man who's supposed to be their defensive midfielder. He was the one looking to play it forward all the time. But again, there was just no tempo, no pattern to their play. They made it easy for Dundalk on the night. Dundalk felt they could have had a penalty late on, should have had a penalty late on. I know Rovers had an appeal for handball, but I didn't think it was. Oh. So Dundalk would be much happier to go away with the
point.
We'll
come on to that decision in a minute, Kieran, because I've got completely opposite views to you. But the one man that did impress me was Duffy, because I thought he was a danger down that left-hand side. And
I didn't think he had his best night, to be honest.
Did you not? No. Most of the chances came from Duffy. I mean, Hoban, you were talking about Hoban and his form. He headed over from a Duffy cross, and... I think that chance that Trevor Clark had as well, you're thinking about that for Rovers, but he shot straight at Rodgers. Then we'll talk about these two penalty decisions, because for me, that Sean Hoare handball from Finn Cross, that's a penalty all day, Kieran.
No, not for me. I had a great view of this one, and for me, there's not enough distance between the ball and the dark player. He has no time to get his hand out of the way. He's tried to pull his hand up to get away from the line of the ball. It's clipped his hand on the way through. It's not a penalty, John.
His hand's in an unnatural position. It's definitely a penalty.
Where is he meant to put his hands?
Well, not where the bloody ball is, for a start.
It clips his hand. He's trying to pull his hand away from the ball. It's clipped him. It's not a penalty.
We're going to have to agree to disagree with that one, because you're going to get me cross.
Give us your views. We'll exclude Shamrock Rovers fans and Dundalk fans from this poll, but if we put a Twitter poll up, vote in it, let us know, was that a penalty, was it handball at Talla on Friday night in that Dundalk Rovers game?
Right, and the other decision, also a penalty, Kieran.
Well, there's no question about this one. This is a stonewall. I didn't have the best view for this one. This one was up towards the far end of the pitch. It was quite difficult to see because there's a lot of bodies involved in this one, but straight away my instinct was that it was a penalty because Grace has gone in very clumsily with 2 feet.
Dog specs on here.
John, you can't deny this one, John.
No, I'm not. Absolutely not. It's definitely a penalty. Absolute stonewall. But, you know, I have to question why at least one of these wasn't given.
I can't understand why the linesman can't see that.
Oh, well.
But, you know, as we said earlier, they'll only make decisions when they're the wrong ones. Here's another example of it.
Yeah. No, I just thought, you know, it's poor decisions. I mean, you can certainly argue for... definitely for one penalty, if not two, but why on earth one wasn't given? I have no idea on that.
But look, I called this one right. I won the St. Mel's game again this week.
Did you know?
Yeah, give you a good old beating this week again. But I got the score on this one right, and I called it spot on. I said this game, the build-up reminded me a lot of the early game last season in Talla that ended 0-0. And after that game, Dundalk kicked on from it.
Cagey, wasn't it?
Yeah, and Rovers regretted that night not going and pushing on more for the win. And I think this could be the same type of situation. Now, obviously, I don't think Rovers will be that far off the pace this year. But what I saw on the night, Rovers have a lot more work to do than Dundalk after this result. Dundalk's pattern of play is established. There's just certain players not clicking. Whereas I'm looking at Rovers and I'm still thinking to myself, what's their best 11? What's their best system of play? Does Stephen Bradley have the tactics to go and win a league? Well, I'm not sure on that.
We'll talk about that match against Harps, because certainly they've had more free reign against Harps in that match. But you can understand why maybe it was a little bit more cagey against Dundalk.
Do you think Stephen Bradley has it in him to win the league? Tactics-wise.
That's a tricky one. He really put me on the spot. I think if he had a striker, he would. You know, I think some of those chances would be converted, because
they
haven't
had enough time now
to
find a striker.
Well, yeah, of course he has, you know, but he's relying
on... I'm not going out of my way to bash him here, but just from speaking to Rovers fans around me the other night, from what I've seen, a lot of them were saying this is no different than last season. And if that's going to be the case, they're not going to win a league, and they could be a bit off winning a league. Okay. Now, I don't think they will be. I think they'll be close, but...
Just answer me one question. Who's top of the league?
Rovers at this moment in time.
At this moment in time. So, look... They're there already. They're up there and thereabouts, but whether they can sustain
Do we really look at league tables at this point of the season?
Don't.
No,
I'll
we don't.
Well, we do.
No.
We do if we're top after two games, but we're not at this stage. Look, we'll move on anyway, because we'll talk about Rovers Harps in a bit. We'll move on to Harps, actually, who played at home to Sligo.
Disappointing result for me, this one, for Finn Harps.
Yeah.
I think we both fancied them on last week's show.
We did, didn't we? Yeah, and I don't really know what went too far wrong, but I think Sligo must up the game a little bit, because, you know, the good performance from Romeo Parks, but he should have scored earlier on.
Oh, that was an awful miss early on.
Yeah, awful miss. I mean, he threw a free header, and he somehow put it towards the corner flag, so I'm not so sure how he's done that. That's a man out of confidence, you know, who hasn't scored already this season.
But well, he didn't show it later on.
No, he got the opener, and he had quite a bit of work to do. It was a nice through ball, but he had to run on it and put the ball in, so which he did, and he'd be delighted to get his first goal.
That through ball was from a man that you have a lot of time for, Twardek.
Yeah, and he got the second, didn't he?
I thought he was brilliant on the night.
Yeah, it was a header, actually. He got the second, but we've praised his direct running before.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, he's a big, tall player, so he should be getting ahead of goals. And yeah, very impressive, very key player in this result the other night.
Burke saved well from Ronan Murray there. I suppose Harps got a consolation near the end from Keelan McAleer across. They're gonna need a lot more of them if they're gonna survive this season.
Yeah, they played a short corner out to McAleer and he's dinked it in lovely to the back post and a thumping header from Daniel O'Reilly.
Yeah, and we know he's capable of that.
He's showing an eye for goal at Harps.
Yeah, that's a couple now, is it, in the season?
Yeah, he's playing left back though, so I'm not sure on that. Defensively, I think he's much better at centre half than left back, but might give him more free rein to get forward and get more goals.
Good signs for Sligo, though, who had a very stuttering start. They'll be delighted to get 3 points there.
Yeah, the big thing for me now is whether Sligo can kick on from this. They have UCD at home this weekend. That's another game they're going to be targeting. If they can get 2 wins in the row, they're laughing. They're up and running. But still work to do for Buckley's men. I think he really wants to develop that passing style and get it going. They probably haven't done that just yet. No. Harp's very narrow pitch. They've brought it in recent weeks, so a hard place to go and play. And they had a very tough start, Sligo, in terms of their fixtures. So this is a good starting point for them, but let's see how they go after that.
Yeah, and I think one thing for Sligo, I'm going to be looking at is set pieces and corners and things, because they've got a lot of height in that team, so they'll want to take advantage, as Twardek did from corner to make it to 2-0. Cork 0, Derry 0. One of the many 0-0s at the weekend.
Yeah, but I think this is an interesting 0-0 in terms of, we've both mentioned the Derry defensive issues a lot in recent years, and they've gone to Turner's Cross and they've got a clean sheet. I think that's a very, very interesting aspect of this game. And we've spoken about Cork's inability to score goals and create chances this season. And again, here's a sign of it. I think Cork are going to be quite a bit off the pace in terms of the title race this season. And it's just interesting to think where Derry could finish this season.
Yeah, it's very difficult to know. You know, you talked about looking at league tables so early on in the season, but it's very difficult to work out how Derry are going to do.
I'm full of questions tonight, John. Do you think Derry could push for a top four place this season?
I think they could.
Will consistency be the key to that?
I think they'll have to tighten up at the back here. And I know make no bones about it, that's a great result going to Turners and getting a 0-0. But they'll be delighted with that, especially after the defensive lapses that we saw in the previous game. Yeah. So I would say they're over the moon with that. Can they finish top four? Yeah, well, like I say, they need to tighten up at the back and get the consistency. They have to have Fortress Brandywell at home.
Yeah, well said.
So anyway, this match, Shane Griffin, best chance of the first half, a great run, and then hit the posts. Second half, we saw a Gilchrist shot that was tipped over by McNulty.
That was from an awful distance and angle out. I'm not sure what made him take it on, but some strike.
It was a good hit, wasn't it? Yeah. McNulty did well to get it over the bar. Gary Buckley, he should have done better after Cherry absolutely flapped at a long ball.
I thought that was cowardly goalkeeping. He's come out and he could either punch it a distance or he could try and catch it and take all in front of him. He's done neither. As you said, he's just kind of flapped that. The rebound falls then to a core player, but he's hit the rebound straight at Cherry, who's recovered well. But initially, it was a very poor piece of goalkeeping.
I think we highlighted Cherry's issues with eyeballs when they signed him, you know. So I think, you know, wouldn't give the defence a great look of confidence.
Would have been desperate to keep the rebound out, though, having been at Cork last season, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, that finished 0-0. And another draw, UCD 1, High Flying St Pat's 1. Good to see Connor Davis performing well in this one. He did really well last season. We highlighted him before. He forced a great save early on from Brendan Clark. But it was Pats that went in the lead, and it was the that man Mikey Drennan again
on
converting
fire.
Across. Yeah, 1-0. Liam Scales, his run and pass, that went to Connor Davis. That was the equaliser. And first point for UCD. You'll feel Pats be disappointed, though.
Yeah, I think you've undersold Liam Scales' run there slightly.
Super run, wasn't
he? Picked the ball up inside his own half. He's taken on three or four opposition players, got himself into the box and got an assist. And everyone talks about Scales as this big, tall centre-half, but he showed there he can play ball.
Yeah, he's a ball
player. That's why he's so highly rated.
Yeah. Yeah, very good run. And he was the partner. See, he went all the way up and pass was perfect for Connor Davis, and he's not going to miss from there.
Yeah, so, and we spoke about the importance of UCD just getting something, getting off the mark, and they've done that. That's a good result at home to St. Pat's.
Yeah, I mean, the way Pats have been playing, they'll be absolutely delighted.
I don't think Pats have clicked yet.
You don't?
No, and I think Forrester, from speaking to a lot of people that have seen their games, he hasn't just caught fire yet either. It might take him a while to get the fitness levels back up, get the match sharpness back up. But
I think he was the big sign of the close season.
100%.
Full stop across the league, across all the teams. And I think maybe people are looking at him to dominate matches by himself.
Mm.
And maybe the expectations are a little bit too high.
You look at the players on paper, though, for St. Pat's, there's no reason why he has to be that one player every week. They have the options out wide. They have Drennan, they have Shaw to come off the bench. They have options, St. Pat's. Mm. So there shouldn't be an overriding expectation on one player in that team.
Yeah, 2 points drop, though, would you agree?
Yeah, of course.
Another cracker, Waterford 0, Bowes 0. We're trying best to sell them, aren't we?
We thought this would be a tight game, but I think we both expected goals given the starts to the season both of these teams have had, and they have some lovely creative players in the middle, not least Bastian Heary. But no goals, unfortunately.
And we can have the usual weekly competition as to whether or not I can pronounce El Bouzidi or whatever his name is. But anyway,
he was impressive on the night.
Right, was it a Bowes pen? Straight away. Georgie Poynton, that handball looked a Stonewall pen to me.
No, accidental.
Oh, right, okay. We're having some real ding-dongs about these penalties, aren't we?
It has to be a proper handball for me. I'm not into these little flick of the hand and giving a penalty.
No, it looked a penalty again to me.
No.
Man who we thought would do really well, Reese for Bowes, Regba, he shot wide. He could have scored, I thought.
Should have gone across the goal with that one.
Exactly.
I thought that was a poor bit of finishing from Regba.
Yeah, and same from El Bouzidi. He cut in and he shot just wide. Another man that impressed, who's impressed in every match we've seen so far, this lad Talbot in goals for Bowes. He looks a good signing, doesn't he? Real good signing.
Yeah, it looks a great signing. As I said, over Christmas I bumped into Chris Bennion and I was just saying to him about the loss of Shane Supple. And he said, you know, this guy we've got in is quite good, and I'm looking forward to working with him, and he's certainly proven it.
Yeah, he's doing everything right so far, so looks a very, very good signing. Bowes finished strong in this one, but they couldn't get a winner. But overall, 0-0, probably about the right result.
To go down to the RSC and get a point, no shame in that one. I think Bowes will be very, very happy with the start they've made to the season.
Yeah, Waterford, on the other hand, bit start-stop so far this season.
Still no goal from Akinade this season.
Yeah, they'd need to fix that pretty quickly, wouldn't they? Because, I mean, you know,
it's not for the lack of trying. His effort is fantastic in every game, and he's having shots saved, and he's creating moves for his teammates, so it's not that he's just lounging around up front there. He's a team player. It's just not clicking for him.
We were saying how difficult it must be to play against him, weren't we, last week? But, he needs to get a few goals to his name. Yeah, he's had a couple of seasons now where he's not exactly been prolific, so I need to change that.
And the final fixture to touch on, John, was that Monday night game. Shamrock Rovers running out 3-0 winners over Finn Harps.
Yeah, a bit of a blooper, the first one from the goalkeeper. He spills it. And
it's not like him. I'm a big fan of Peter Berg. I think he's been excellent since he's come into that Harps team, taking the number one jersey of long-time servant Kieran Gallagher. So that's a testament in itself to how good this kid is. But yeah, it's certainly not his best moment there.
No.
The conditions on the night too, it has to be said, were awful. So that might have played a part in that wet ball.
Yeah, and I know you want to talk about the two fixtures, two trips in down there. We'll
be speaking to Nigel now in a second. Then.
Yeah,
Dylan
Watts, he had a penalty and he missed it. Yeah, so we're thinking about penalty takers for Rovers, but they scored one the other week.
Didn't just miss it, he skied it.
Exactly. Yeah, good conversion, that one. Through ball from Watts, though, he redeemed himself, finishing from through ball from Daniel Carr, 2-0. That made it. And Aaron Green got the third, again from a through ball. A couple of lapses in the Harps defence, which, I mean, we've praised so far this season, but that line looked very high, didn't it?
I think, as I said at the start of the show, their legs were just gone. Maybe the minds were gone a little bit too. Just a disjointed performance from Finn Harps. I'm sure that'll be out of their system quite quickly. They'll go back to training, they'll go back to working on their shape, and I'm sure we'll see a much tighter effort at the back. But just final point on Shamrock Rovers, Aaron Green and Carr linking up quite well at times there in that game. Could that be a potential partnership going forward?
Well, I don't think he likes to play one, doesn't he?
Yeah, he likes to play one.
Yeah, I think he played Carr behind.
Maybe getting Green out on the wing. I know he's played Carr on the wing in the past, but he's definitely a striker. He's not a wingman,
isn't Carr? No. So either playing him through the centre or just behind Green. You could see that as a possibility going forward.
They need to try something and find a solution fast, because if they can't get a man that's going to get them 15 goals a season, I can't see them winning anything.
I think it's hard to criticise. I know you're critical of Voic, but he's not going to have the fitness as well, Kieran. So I think he needs a bit of time to...
Looked a long way off it, John.
Yeah. Yeah, well, look.
Look, let's go to our second interview of the night. We're going to speak to Finn Harps superfan Nigel Hegarty. So Nigel Hegarty joins us once again this season on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Nigel, you're welcome back to the show.
Yeah, always glad to be on with.
So Nigel, I suppose we have to start by talking about this outrage surrounding the fixtures up in Donegal at the moment. Finn Harps' fixture against Shamrock Rovers was brought forward the other night due to the under-17 championships taking place in Talla in a couple of weeks' time. I know Ollie Horgan in particular very, very unhappy about it. Finn Harps, as we all know, a part-time side, so difficult to get up to Dublin on a Monday night for players, obviously for supporters as well, but it must be said, fair play to the 80 or so Finn Harps fans that did travel great numbers for a Monday night. But what's your take on the way the fixtures have been scheduled this season?
Well, look, it's hard to disagree with anything Ollie has said. It's outrageous, really. When you consider no other side apart from Shamrock Rovers, obviously with the opponents, will be playing any more weekday games than Finn Harps this season. 6 games this season will fall midweek. That's before you go into any League Cup or potential games called off or cup replays or anything that might happen. It's outrageous to ask a part-time team to cram in so many games so early into a season. And despite, you know, suggestions on the contrary to say Finn Harps offered to switch home games, we'll say that game that was due to take place during the 17th championship would take place in Finn Park, and Harps' home game scheduled for Finn Park obviously would be switched to Talla, and that fell in deaf ears. To push it back a couple of weeks to allow sufficient rest for part-time players, that was fell on deaf ears. And you know what can you do when you're played cards like that? It's ridiculous scheduling from the FAI, and it's tough, not only just being part-time players, but these guys had to take another day off work. You know, their livelihood, and it's insane, because we'll say, you know, come Friday night Finn Harps play in Cork City, we'll have 6 games in 21 days. You know, that's 3.5 days per game at the start of the season for a part-time team. And it's no surprise now that we're racking up the injuries as a result.
Yeah, I think that the way that the fixtures are front-loaded, even for the full-time teams, I think it's an issue. Now, obviously, the top sides in this league have much bigger squads than they can rotate. But I suppose what a lot of people might say, Nigel, is that the price you pay when you go into this Premier Division as a part-time club, that you're going to have these issues?
But it shouldn't be, though. It shouldn't be to your detriment to be promoted.
You know, it I know what you're saying, and I'm just trying to play devil's advocate here, but if we're going to try and progress the league forward and we're trying to have as many professional clubs as we can, then can we really have clubs coming up from the first division and then giving out about Monday night games?
You can't, yeah, and it is a fair point, but at the same time, you know, how can you expect a league to progress if you're stuck with the same 8 teams full time? How can a team like Finn Harps expect to progress if you're just said, well, it's tough, you're a first division team, you didn't deserve to be, you don't deserve to be here if you can't compete? You
know, and I suppose
you're talking about wanting to progress the league. There's, you know, hammering fixtures down the throat early in the season isn't the way to do it.
Yeah, and again, I think, as I said there, bar the top sides who are the big squads, I think the schedule, and even for the full-time teams, it's outrageous, and it's no surprise we've seen so many injuries last season and we're starting to see them already this season. But the big thing here is the clubs voted for this, Nigel.
Yeah, that is it. That's the be-all and end-all of it. At the end of the day, clubs can't afford to extend the season either. You know, beyond maybe the likes of Dundalk, maybe Cork, maybe Shamrock Rovers, some of these teams, you know, Derry, Pats, that are bankrolled by billionaires, you know, they can afford to put this season forward a few weeks. But then you can't ask the likes of Finn Harps to say, right, you have to pay an extra 5 weeks of wages. You have to keep the pitch for an extra 5 weeks. You know, it's struggling off as it is because there's no funding in the league. Like, it's nothing, it's not against the clubs to say, you know, you should be extending the league. At the end of the day, they can't afford to because the league's so woefully funded. So it's a catch-22, you know.
Look, we have to talk about Ollie Hogue and Nigel. At this stage, someone says he's almost becoming a caricature of himself, the way he's behaving on the sidelines. And, you know, it was almost inevitable that he'd get sent off, you know, within five or six matches of the league starting, which has happened. And, you know, is the potential to spend more time this season suspended than on the sideline? Isn't it about time he grew up?
No, I completely disagree. What you get with Ollie Horgan, he's the most frustrating man in the world to have as your team's manager, but there's no better person for the job at the end of the day. He oozes passion. And that's clear for everyone to see. You know, there's not many managers that you see these days getting out in the sideline and having a go at a player who does something wrong, but also shouting praise, shouting encouragement, telling a player what they should be doing constantly. Too many managers sit back now in their suits and sit on the bench and take notes and don't breathe a word to their team. Ollie's out there for 90 minutes, giving as much effort as anyone is on the pitch. Like, we'll say, the sending off on Monday night was ridiculous. Many Shamrock Rovers fans sitting right behind the Finn Harps bench criticised the decision to send him off.
But that's due to, I would say that's, you know, the referee's always going to see him as an issue waiting to happen. You know, you look at his behaviour in previous seasons and, you know, it's almost like, you know, certain players you know are going to get a yellow or a red card every match.
Yeah, of course. But is there anything you could say is offensive or dirty or in Ollie's approach to the sideline? No, he's a man who just he shouts loudly and people think this is funny. It's, as you say, he's a caricature of himself now. It's this famous line now, this work, you know, everyone uses it now at this stage. Soccer Republic used it themselves in a video a few years back. Look, he doesn't do anything offensive to anyone. He shouts loud. He's passionate. He's loud on the sideline, and I welcome that in the manager. I've seen too many managers in Finn Park over the years that, frankly, didn't really care enough to show the same passion.
I think I'd be just worried that he won't be spending enough time on the sideline this season. You know, with the sendings off.
Not on that sideline, maybe at the other sideline shouting.
Just on that point, Nigel. Obviously, there's the potential now for Ollie Horgan to pick up a touchline ban after the sending off in Tallaght, and we already have Paul Hegarty now facing a 2-match ban. Who's going to be on the sideline this weekend? Any ideas?
Well, you have
William O'Connor there is the first team coach who will presumably be there. And to put it this way, Ollie will still be on the sideline this week. Until he meets a disciplinary committee, and I will be shocked if he gets any ban, because apparently now, I won't go saying this is officially what happened, but apparently what happened was he got sent off for referring to the fourth official, Tomás Connolly, and his name in Irish.
I did see that on Twitter now. It seems absolutely ridiculous. So
it's crazy, isn't it? Really?
You'd love to see.
But that's what I was saying about
him. History with
him being a victim of his own personality.
He has history with the same fourth official, and it's no surprise now that this guy is reffing reportedly on Friday night, the Cork City game. So.
Yeah, you'd love to be sitting in on that disciplinary meeting anyway, if that is the case.
I think I'd rather be sitting on the sideline at the Cork City match, by the sounds of it. Could be some real fireworks. Look,
I think we've spent enough time on Ollie Horgan there. I think there's valid points both sides there. As Nigel said, there is too many managers now that just sit back and they have no real passion, and you just wonder if they're there for a paycheck and to advance their own career. But on the flip side of that, I think Ollie Horgan probably does need to find the right balance.
I agree.
Especially with this new directive in place. I mean, managers could face very long bans this season.
You just think his cards are marked before he even comes out with certain referees and lines.
And as well, you only have to look at this 3-game ban that the Dundalk Rory Higgins has got, 2 games for Paul Hegarty, 5-game ban for the Derry City player that was sent off last
week.
It's clear the FEI are coming down hard very early in the season, so it's just something that managers and players are going to have to be mindful of. But Nigel, let's speak about this game against Cork City at the weekend. Cork have had a very slow start. They're struggling to score goals. Do you fancy Harps to turn them over?
No, in a word. I'd love to see it, and we have the squad for it. I think we have a squad out there that is capable of doing damage to any team. I fully believe that, and I'm not saying that with Harps tinted glasses. They put it up to Dundalk, albeit Dundalk, you know, were under par that night. But a fully firing Finn Harps team under Ollie Horgan is capable of causing anyone bother. We have a squad there, a good mix of youth and experience this year. But early on now, you can see their Friday night against Sligo and Monday night against Shamrock Rovers, they're absolutely out on their feet. We're playing players that aren't fit just to make up a squad at the minute. You know, there's 7-8 players, I think, out at the minute. And it's bare bones already, and you're only 5 games into the season. And it's all because of this ridiculous fixture schedule. So I'd be surprised. I'd be pleasantly surprised if we come away with anything from a Cork team that are sure to click in the next few games. But look, Finn Park, it's that classic difficult place to go, isn't it? Dundalk found it out. You know, anything can happen. I would love to see it. Who knows?
Yeah, and just, you've mentioned a couple of young players there, Nigel. Two of them I want to ask you about. Daniel O'Reilly, obviously a man we know very well here in these parts. Playing left-back, what have you made of that tactical decision from Ollie? And Peter Burke is a man I really like in goals, and to take the number one jersey off a man like Kieran Gallagher, it probably says a lot about that young man.
Yeah, well, look, Daniel O'Reilly was... It was a little bit of an unknown for us. You know, we knew him from, obviously, Longford. You know, we knew him as a solid enough defender, but the step up to Premier Division was the one thing that we were unsure of. As fans, we couldn't be happier. He's been fantastic so far. He's fitted seamlessly into that defence, a very tough defence to get into, because, you know yourselves, that defence was really, really mean towards the end of last season. Obviously, the departure of Kieran Cole left a gap at left back. Maybe Daniel himself mightn't be too keen on left back, but you know, he's certainly filled a role there. Mark Russell's come in now from Scotland. He'd be more of a direct left back, and Daniel's sort of filled in at centre half again now since. But whether it's a centre half or left back, he's been very, very impressive so far, and I couldn't fault him.
Yeah, and he's certainly shown a goal threat as well, which is a big positive for Harps.
Yeah, well, look, any man across the park that gets himself on the score sheet is definitely to be welcomed. Last year, again, we had a great spread of goals all across the pitch. All he likes is defenders to get forward. He likes his wing backs. You know, John Kavanagh there, right back as well. The two himself and whoever, whether it be O'Reilly or Russell at left back. The two of them are expected to bomb up and down the wings. And This is something that Ollie has, you know, adopted this 5-3-2 formation, and it worked well for us at the end of last season. Coming into the season, you know, we haven't really hit the ground running yet. Like, but you know, as I said, the boys are still bombing forward, and O'Reilly got himself a deserved goal there last week as well. It's a pity we're on the wrong side of the 2-1 defeat, but he's doing well now.
Well, Nigel, that's been an excellent rundown on Finn Harps. We want to thank you once again for joining us on the show. I think that'll be a very interesting game this Friday night in Finn Park, and if Harps could get a win there, they'd certainly be up and running big time for the Premier Division. But once again, thanks for joining us on the show, Nigel.
Yeah, always a pleasure.
Enjoying the show so far? Why not leave us a review on iTunes? Want something featured on next week's show? Get in touch via Twitter at Between Stripes or find us on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Finally, our new website address is www.betweenthestripes.ie. Enjoy the second half. BetweenTheStripes.ie is sponsored by Diaga. Based in Buncrana, County Donegal, Diaga are world leaders in top-class logo and graphic design, website building, film production, illustration, and much more. For further information, please visit Diaga.ie.
I have to say, John, really enjoyed that interview there with Nigel Hegarty. Great debate back and forth from both of you. It's always great to get the fan interviews. I just feel you get the best perspective from fans because obviously they have nothing to hold back and they'll give you the honest
and
truth.
And we can ask questions that we can't ask players.
Yeah, exactly. So thanks to Nigel for joining us. Really good chat there. And as we said, that should be a cracking game between Harps and Cork at the weekend. But look, it's time once again this week for our stmelsbrewing.com prediction game. So make sure you head over to stmelsbrewing.com. Check out their website. They have some lovely new craft beers out at the moment, so check those out at your local off-licensed local supermarket, and always drink responsibly. St. Mel's Brewing, sponsor here of Between the Stripes this season. We'll start with the first division, John. Cove against Wexford.
Yeah, well, Cove, bit of a tricky start so far. I think we've covered that in detail, and Wexford, an awful start this season. So for me, this is the match where Hendo gets off the mark, and I'm going for a home win.
I think it has to be a home win here because obviously Wexford, there's no expectation about them this season, very young side, whereas Cove were expected to push on and make a go at the playoffs. I don't think they'll be there this season. It's probably early to write them off after a couple of games, but I think they're already shown that they're maybe going to be closer to the mid-table than they are the playoffs. But if they can get off the mark here with a win, then a bit of momentum could follow. They've put together some good winning runs in recent years. So if they could get the win here, let's see where it takes them over the next few weeks. Might be a little bit tighter than people expect, but I think Cove definitely come out on top.
Agreed.
Both going for Cove then.
Both Cove. Cabin Teely host Longford Town. This is your commentary match.
Yeah, so just a reminder, Between the Stripes, Matchday Live, our new online commentary service. Go to Mixlr.com, so that's MIXLR.com/Between the Stripes. Subscribe to that channel, it's totally free of charge. And you'll get live matchday commentary throughout the season from featured League of Ireland games. It won't just be all Longford Town games, don't worry about that. But we do come from Stradbroke this week, where I'll be bringing you commentary, and hopefully I'll find a co-commentator for that one.
Yeah, I'm afraid I'm over the water this weekend, so
Going off and investing your money into the English game, huh?
Yeah, well, look, it's my lad's birthday, and he wanted Man City tickets.
What was better than a trip to Stradbroke?
I'll sort him out at a later date, Kieran, don't worry, we'll fix him.
But look, on the game itself, I think this has the potential to be one of the most interesting games of the First Division weekend. Cabo have sprung into life. They had an awful start to the season. They were battered by Bray in the opening game, but since then, they've got that win in Tolka Park, and they had a great win in the EA Sports Cup the other night. I know it's a competition you don't rate, but still, they beat Drogheda United the other night there 1-0, so great result for Cabo. And we all know Stradbroke is a very difficult ground to go to. Surface isn't always the best. And not just that, when the ball goes out, it can spend 30 or 40 seconds out because there's no ball, boys. It's a big open field.
That's a shambles, Kieran. Yeah. We've talked about that before, but that is a shambles.
To see players going under the fence for a ball, it just doesn't look right.
No, it doesn't. No.
But look, from a Longford Town point of view, Neil Fenn made 11 changes last night for that EA Sports Cup tie against Cockhill. They weren't overly impressive, but two of the players that were impressive, Mick McDonald at centre-half, he was dropped for the win over Drogheda. I'd expect him to come back in place of Joe Manley, whose brother Rob plays for Cabin Teely up front, so that will be interesting in itself. Yep. And the man we're a big fan of, Shane Elworthy, brilliant last night. brilliant assist at the weekend off the bench. He has to start for me.
Has to start. He's probably the first name on the team sheet as far as I'm concerned. Perplexed as to why he was
so what do you do
week.
There? Do you play him at right back and move Chambers further up the pitch?
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
See, he played a diamond at the weekend, Fenn. I think he might go for something similar here. So is there room for Chambers higher up the pitch?
Well, he looked very narrow, I thought, didn't it, against Dryden.
But you might need that
well.
In an away game like this, you know?
But look, I expect him to start Elworthy. For me, he has to start.
Okay, give us your prediction.
Right, well, I'm going to go for an away win, purely heart over head. But I saw plenty in that 3-0 victory against Drogheda to say that we're going to go to Cabinteely. And for Cabinteely to have two massive results in 2 weeks, I'm not so sure if they're going to do that.
I'm finding this one tough to call. Marty Waters has got the goals going now at long last after a quiet spell last year. Rob Manley has brought a new dimension to this team. Good solid defenders in this one. Big fan of Conor Keeley at the back for Cabinteely. Big fan of Jack Chute as well. And they've got a fantastic goalkeeper in Stephen McGuinness. So we know what we're going to get from Cabinteely. We're going to get a solid defensive display. It's whether they can get the likes of Marty Waters and the likes of Manley involved enough. Longford looks solid at the back. Kept a clean sheet last night, kept a clean sheet against Drogheda, kept a clean sheet in Limerick. So yet to concede a goal this season, Longford. Conor Kenna has been a big reason behind that. As I said, the only decision for Fenn to make will be McDonald or
and
Manley.
Lee Stacey.
And Stacey.
Who's been
fantastic.
Excellent,
I'm going to go for a narrow Longford win. I think they might just nick it based on their solid defensive displays this season, but I'm not sure if they'll keep a clean sheet.
Okay, we'll move on. Galway host Bray. This could be a real interesting one.
Yeah, Galway have had a very, very positive start this season. Bray, their new signings have all clicked straight away. Keegan, McGlade, and Joe Doyle. So plenty of attack and threat. But Galway at home, you're going to hope they're going to be backed by a big support again. Oh, this is a tough one to call.
It's a real tough one. Real tough one.
Vinnie Fatherty banging the goals in as well. So what do you fancy here?
I'm going to go for the Bray win, but I'm really not confident on this one at all.
Yeah, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to go for a Bray win as well, and we might get a score prediction on this one. I'm going
to
go for another 5-goal thriller here this weekend. I'm going to go 3-2 to Bray.
I'm going to go 2-0 Bray.
2-0 Bray.
Seems like you've put me on the spot.
Okay, over to the Markets Field. You'd be hoping the surface might have improved slightly since their last home game. They face Drogheda United, who'll be itching to get back to winning ways after that hammering they took in Longford.
Yeah, and make no bones about it, they were truly awful second half. They didn't really have any positive things to say about them. But they're up against the Limerick side. I know Neil Fenn was very disappointed to drop points against Limerick there. Yeah. And having looked at the performance last week, I think Drogheda will go there and win that one.
I think this is a draw written all over it. Limerick, despite their poor start, they did show at home they can make it a difficult place because of the surface. They can get players into defensive positions and crowd the pitch and flood the midfield and be physical. Drogheda didn't show any real in that second half. They had no focal point for me, and I just wonder if they're going to score a lot less goals this season than they did last year. I'm surprised again that McCaffrey didn't stay there, in all honesty. I'm a big fan of his, but
yeah,
I think they might struggle for goals this weekend. I'm going to call that a scoreless draw.
Okay, and the final fixture there is Athlone at home to Shelburne. Well,
Who would have thought that Athlone were going to be, travelling to Holyoke Park looking to maintain their position on the top of the table? And who would have thought Shells were going to be coming into this one off the back of a Dublin Derby defeat to Cabinteely?
Yeah, very, very surprised. But like it says, early days, isn't it? And we're getting a few shock results.
I know Athlone kept a clean sheet recently, but you've questioned whether there's enough experience in that back line.
Yeah.
And coming up against someone like Kilduff, who's just been there and he's done it, surely you can't see them keeping a clean sheet this time around.
No, I can't. And for that reason, I think Shells will win this.
Yeah, I follow you on Shells. But look, Cabinteely went to Tolkien, surprised everyone. Maybe Athlone can do the same.
Who knows? Well, we'll see anyway.
A few differences there anyway, so that's interesting.
Yep.
So 3-1 to me after last weekend's results.
No, Kieran, you've cheated.
No,
it's 2-1.
No, it's not. No.
Oh, yeah, not. It's ridiculous playing you at this game. Right, let's move on. Premier League.
Bowes against Derry.
Yeah. Good match. I mean, Bowes, the good start, haven't they made? And Derry will be boosted by their performance away from home at Cork. Another tricky one to call, Kieran. Where are you going with this one?
It's a replay of that cup quarter-final last year at the Brandywell. Obviously, this one comes at Dalymount Park, where Bowes have showed much more promising form than they did at home last season.
Yeah.
Corcoran's on fire. He now has the assistance of Ali Regba up there. Derry, obviously, you're going to be looking to the likes of McNamee. Parkhouse, quiet in the last couple of games, but had a promising start. Just think with the home advantage here, I fancy Bowes to continue their good start to the season. But again, this could be a high scoring one, and hopefully we'll see more goals this weekend in the Premier than we did last time out.
I don't know about the high scoring one, but I think Bowes will nick it, Kieran. I mean, Derry were pretty tight against Cork, I have to say, although Cork are really lacking a bit of firepower at the moment. But for me, it'll be a sneaky win for Bowes.
It just always goes back to that thing of whether Derry can follow up.
I know.
They've got that great result in Turner's Cross. Can they go and follow that up with another result now? It's a big ask to go to Cork and then go to Dublin. I know they're obviously one of the more full-time teams in this league, but it still is a big ask for that team.
Okay, we'll move on and we'll talk about Dundalk at home to Waterford.
Would you be surprised if I was to tell you can get up to 8-1 on Waterford to win this game?
I am very surprised. That's very much going on.
I wouldn't expect that price to stay ahead of kickoff. I think there'll be a lot of money on Waterford. Major injury crisis at Dundalk. And I don't like using that term around a team like Dundalk because of the amount of players they have in their squad.
What have they got left in midfield? Tell me.
They've lost Chris Shields now.
Yeah.
And that is major because they don't have another player of that ilk.
Yeah.
You know, when Benson came out of the team, Murray came in. Great. Like-for-like replacement almost. Yeah. In fact, you could even argue that Murray has the potential to be a better player than Benson.
Mm-hmm.
When McElhenney went out of the team, they still have so many attacking players that come in, the likes of Dan Kelly.
Yeah.
But there is nobody else in that team like Chris Shields.
That does his job.
Yeah. So you're looking at Waterford. Bastian Heary could have a field day.
He could do. Do you know how much they'd love their old captain from a season or two ago who's now on the coaching books?
Stephen O'Donnell,
yeah. He'd be a perfect
fit. There was a couple of rumours going around that he was taking part in training sessions, but I think that was just to make up an 11v11 shape type thing.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any chance of a comeback. But
you wonder if they'd go for an emergency registration or something before this match.
Even looking on the opposition team, Shiv Dukas has gone to Waterford. Could have he now maybe got a run if he had stuck around?
Who knows?
I do feel here he could really exploit the space now in the middle of that Dundalk midfield. But it will all come down to whether Akinade can find his scoring boots.
Yeah, and is the striker that could trouble Dundalk's defence, you know, if you could bully them. He's a big lad, isn't he? But
he'd be doing well to bully Brian Gartland. I'd like to see a man do that now. I'd be surprised.
I know, but look, if anybody can, it's going to be Akinade. Mm. But look,
he does always give a good game against Dundalk.
Oh, it'll be a great matchup, those two. Mm. It'll be toe to toe with that. As to whether your predictions of Heary dominating and Waterford getting something like this, I'm not so sure, Kieran. I know they've been a bit stop-start, Waterford, but I can't see them going to Dundalk and getting a win there.
I just get the feeling there's something not clicking at the moment at Dundalk, and I know that's very obvious to say, but Patrick Hooban just looked so far off the pace the other night. I'm not sure whether he was carrying some type of knock or whether he just had an off game or maybe the Rovers defenders just got the better of him on the night, which rarely happens. But
Kieran, is the setup right in Dundalk? You know what you know what I'm talking about, Kieran.
In terms of the management setup.
Exactly.
Listen back to the podcast. I had no issue with the management setup there. Vinnie Perth was the assistant to Stephen Kenny. Who better to learn from? Obviously, it's unfortunate the situation where he didn't have the appropriate licensing and they've had to find a way around that. Does that muddle things? I don't think so. I'm sure the very first day of pre-season, they had a team meeting. I'm sure it was explained exactly whose role was what. Look, you can't have more brains on a bench than Vinnie Perth, John Gill, Rory Higgins and Stephen O'Donnell. Find me a better coaching team than that, John.
But it just takes a few poor performances for people to start asking questions.
Right, let's flip it and say Dundalk didn't appoint Vinnie Perth and they appointed some English manager or a foreign manager and he had a slow start. Would the exact same thing be said? Would they not be saying, well, oh, why didn't they go for the safe option in Vinnie Perth?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
So, their system of play and everything, it looks nailed down. They just haven't, certain players haven't just clicked yet.
Yeah.
Duffy's looked good, but Hooban's been slightly off his game. If Hooban clicks, they're off and running, they're laughing. But I'm just think it's going to take him a couple more games. I'm not sure what's going on with him at the moment. But there's been a suggestion from some Dundalk fans whether Georgie Kelly maybe should get a starting role in this team. Because he's looked very lively when he's come on, and he looked very lively and scoring goals in pre-season.
Yeah, we know how good he is from last season in the first division. But look, they're going to have to stick with Oban. He's top scorer last season. And I think it's...
How long do you stick with him, though, if he doesn't score on this one? Now, I'm not saying that will happen, but if he goes another 3, 4, 5, 6 games without a goal...
Well, then he maybe have to give Georgie Kelly, but I think you've got to give the lad the benefit of the doubt. He's done so well last season.
For listeners listening, I am by no means writing off Patrick Hooban here. I'm just simply raising something I've noticed in the few Dundalk games I've been at, and obviously watching back on highlights and stuff like that.
I think he's going to score a sackful against somebody. I think that's what's going
to
happen.
And look, I did say that to you on shows recently.
We were talking about an Ireland call-up for this lad not so long ago. You know, Stephen Kenny's part of the structure now. McCarthy's coming with a blank slate. You'd have thought he wants to really be at the top of his game.
Yeah. I did say that to you. I think there is a hammering coming from somebody off the end of Dundalk. We've seen last season when they struggled for goals at the start and then they went and absolutely wiped the floor at Limerick. But this definitely won't be the game.
No.
I'm going to call a draw on this one. I think Waterford will have a lot more of the ball than they would have expected because of the absences in midfield for Dundalk, but I'm not sure whether Akinade is the man to put the goal away. So Waterford, they'll create chances, it's just a matter of whether they can score them. If they can, they could go away with all 3 points, but for me this one ends a draw.
Yeah, I'm just wondering who's going to actually play midfield for Dundalk. I'm really looking, it could be Brian Burke if we turn up this weekend. there is that much of an injury crisis, but I'm still going to go with them to sneak past Waterford.
Right, very, very interesting match preview there. Let's move along. St. Pat's against Rovers in a big Dublin derby.
Oh, it should be a cracker. Oh, love these.
And I think Richmond Park will be jammed for this one.
It will be bouncing, Kieran. This is the one to go to if you're free at a weekend around Dublin.
Dublin, yeah.
Both teams started the season pretty well. I know you've highlighted Rovers' issues up top. Pats have started excellently. Failed to break down that UCD team last weekend.
Failed to break down Harps.
Yeah. So I don't know with this one. This is going to be a tough one to predict. I'm going over to you first, Kieran.
How much would Shamrock Rovers love Mikey Drennan in their team right now?
Oh,
could he be the difference in this game? Because I think these teams have had very similar starts. They're showing promises of major improvements on last season. They've been talked up as potential challengers to Dundalk. But the difference is Pats have definitely got a goal scorer in there, and they've got other goal scorers in there. But Rovers, you're looking for goals from their midfield because it doesn't seem they have a prolific goal scorer. Now, Aaron Green got one against Harps, but again, we've said it, he's inconsistent. So
they seem to like Rovers like a striker that's not quite a striker. They play a winger up top or something like that. I just wish they had an out and out goal scorer.
You're looking at Gary Shaw, who's with Pats now. You often found him on the left wing. You found him out on the 10.
Yeah.
There never seems to be someone that's going to play almost every single game up front because they just haven't got a proven goal scorer. Big issue.
Hooban, Adrenan, you know, somebody that can stick the ball in the net. That's what they need. But I don't think they have it, and Pat's going to take advantage of it. I'm struggling to predict this one.
I'm calling it a draw. I think with so much on the line, big Dublin derby, big atmosphere, I think it could be one of those typical cagey derby games, like we've seen in England at the weekend with the Merseyside derby.
But Rovers have a bad time with the derby, especially with Bows, don't they? Yeah. So
they've had a bit of a better record in this one. But no, I'm calling it a draw.
Well, do you know, I've gone for a draw too.
Okay. Sligo against UCD. This could be a big game at the bottom.
Yeah, big game at the bottom, and UCD will be desperate to get off the bottom, but I've just seen a few signs in Sligo that they're starting to pick up the game a little bit, and you know, a lot of new signings there, completely different manager. I think it just might be starting to settle a little
bit. The new signing seems to just be settling now. Park's off the mark.
Yeah.
Levrock, after that disastrous debut in Oriel Park, looks so settled.
Exactly. I think they'll be...
Twyrdek in good form.
Yeah, and they're huge. They're a huge team, so height-wise.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that UCD have some good defenders and things, but, I mean, that Sligo team...
Well, do you know what the interesting thing about UCD that a lot of people don't take into account? Last season, everyone spoke about UCD as this total footballing team. Last season was the most physical I've ever actually seen UCD in years, and I was listening to... I think it was the League of Ireland Weekly podcast. I'm going to give them a plug here.
Fair enough. We're all promoting the same league.
Yeah. I'm almost certain in saying they had Colly O'Neill on last week. And he said that's something they did speak about before the start of the First Division last season. It's something they worked on, was making sure they could look after themselves as well as play nice football. So they're no pushovers. But this Sligo team is one of the most physical I've seen in a long time in this league. So this could be a game where you see a lot of yellows dished out on the night. But I'm not suggesting either team are dirty or anything like that, but they certainly know how to look after themselves. Both teams like to play football. I think UCD are probably a little more fluid at the moment because you know, they know each other, they've been together longer, whereas Sligo, as you've mentioned, bedding in new signings, still working on things, and a lot of their opening games, they've had to play defensive styles. This is a game now they're at home where they're expected to come out and attack. So
as we say back home, get on with it. What's the prediction?
I'm going to call another draw this week.
Okay.
I think UCD could have a bit of joy on the counter-attack with Conor Davis. But Sligo at home should be getting something from this.
I think they'll be getting 3 points, Kieran. I'm going to go for a Sligo win there.
That could be the difference maker this week.
Well, and we're going to wrap it up finally with that match between Harps and Cork.
So both teams having issues in scoring goals this season. I'm looking at Harps, and Boyle is going to be their main goal scoring threat this season, whereas I'm looking at Cork and I'm not sure who's going to play. It's mostly going to be Cummins, but if he can't get going, who comes in for him? And there's a lot of questions to be asked about Cork.
There is, yeah. We've loan signings there that we don't know too much about. Cummins, yet, he hasn't got going, much like Hooban, who we were talking about. But
Cork do look solid at the back in their defence. And the young players at the back, like McLaughlin there, have impressed greatly. So.
Yeah, McLaughlin, yeah. But they're not creating a right lot neither, Kieran. No. I think that's got to be a worry.
But if you've got your back line right, then you can build from there. They're taking on a team here who's going to be tipped for relegation by everyone. That's no surprise. So it's a game where Cork are going to be expected to take 3 points.
For all I can criticise Ollie Horgan, he will have them wound up with that exact thing that you said. Everybody's tipping you to for relegation. You know, these are the matches. We're at home. We've got to put up in a good performance.
Yeah, the pressure's off Harps, because with UCD making a slow start also, it's not as if they lose this game they're going to be cut adrift early doors. So
you can't say the pressure's off. It's a home game, and you know, they'll want to get something out of it.
Who expects them to go and beat Cork? There might be a few, but the overall consensus is that Cork would go and beat Finn Harps.
But you're looking at Cork's start. What are they, 4 points so far this season?
But then again, people are expecting Cork to be up and around there, but they're not expecting them to be as consistent as last season. If you look at most pundits, they've all gone Dundalk, St. Pat's, Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah,
a lot of them haven't even mentioned Cork. So
I was struggling to even get them in my top four this season.
So look, what way do we go here then? Because there's arguments for both teams.
There is arguments for both teams, but I think Cork are going to win this narrowly. I know they haven't started well, but I think they'll just sneak it. It'll be a 1-0 or a 2-1.
Yeah, I think if you're looking for goals from Harps, again, you're looking towards set pieces.
You certainly are. Again, a team with good height and good aerial prowess, you know, and their defenders are a threat from set pieces.
But just the negative to Finn Harps at the moment, as we've heard from Nigel earlier on, is there going to be too many games in a short period? Will the legs just be that bit off? And as we've seen,
they can't defend like they did against
Rovers.
That's
what I mean. When they get tired, things get a little bit disjointed, and the better teams find them gaps. Whereas you might get away with that in the first division, you won't get away with that against Shamrock Rovers, against Cork City. So I fancy Cork just to nick this one, but I think the result of this game will be very, very interesting to analyse on next week's show.
Absolutely.
Well, John, that's been another fantastic edition of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. We just want to say a massive thank you to everyone that's tuned in so far this season. Our last four shows, so that's our three shows to start of this season and our Christmas special, all with over 1,000 listeners. I think that's the first time that's ever happened where we've had four in a row with over 1,000 listeners. So,
and we got to fifth in the iTunes charts as well, which was amazing.
Our highest ever, and there was another League of Ireland podcast in that top five as well. So it's great to see the representation of League of Ireland across all these platforms. So to all of our new listeners, you're very welcome. Thanks for joining us. But please do, if you're listening on iTunes, hit the subscribe button. Ask Siri to do it for you now. Say subscribe now. You'd be amazed. That's what the phones can do these days. If you're listening on the likes of Spotify or whatever your favourite podcast app is, please give us a follow on that so you'll never miss a show. Give us a review on iTunes. And don't be afraid to interact with us on the likes of Twitter and the likes of Facebook. Our Twitter account is @BetweenStripes. And that's our official account, by the way. I know there's been a couple of fake accounts going around recently regarding League of Ireland pages. So please do keep an eye out on that. If you see a fake Between the Stripes one, just block it. Just report it. @BetweenStripes is our only account. We've had some good debates and good discussion there tonight, John. We'd love to hear from the listeners on their point of view on things. And our Facebook is facebook.com/BetweenTheStripes. And you can get myself and John. John is @JohnBryer, J-O-N Breyer. And I'm @KieranBTS. So we'll look forward to hearing from you folks. Thanks for joining us. Give this a share far and wide on Facebook, Twitter, and whatever social media platforms you use, as it really does help make more people aware of the League of Between the Stripes LOI podcast, and in turn, the League of Ireland. Get out and enjoy a game this weekend. And a final reminder, Between the Stripes Match Day Live comes live from Cabinteely versus Longford Town on Friday night on mixler.com/Between the Stripes. Broadcast starts at 7:40 with kickoff at 7:45. We'll speak to you next week. Thanks very much.
Subscribe to Between the Stripes LOI podcast now on iTunes, Audio Boom, Mixcloud, Pocket Cast, or Podcast Republic, and never miss an episode. You can follow us on Twitter at Between Stripes, or like us on Facebook and Instagram by searching Between the Stripes. Add us on Snapchat. Our username is BTS1924. While for all the latest League of Ireland news and updates, you can visit BetweenTheStripes.ie. Until next week, thanks for listening.